This is Joanna Kearns, and you're listening to Fascination Street Podcast.
I believe that everybody has a story, and I'm fascinated to hear them. So come with me as we take a walk down Fascination Street.
Welcome back, Streetwalkers. This is a return guest. Kayla Adams is an actress who first appeared on the show October 21st, 2019, and at that time, her movie Ad Astra, starring Brad Pitt and Donald Sutherland, was number 2 at the box office. If you didn't check out that first episode, go check it out. It was a lot of fun, and that's where we really did the whole get-to-know-you thing. This time, we talk about the movie that she's working on that's based on her grandfather's life as a Royal Canadian Air Force pilot who was downed and had to walk and behind enemy lines, all this crazy stuff. We talked about the rom-com she's out there pitching. She's very excited about it. We talk a little bit about her movie Bliss, which came out last year, starring Salma Hayek, Owen Wilson, and of course, Kayla Adams. And then we talk about the two movies that she has right now. One just came out on VOD and digital everywhere. It's called Hex, and it's kind of a weird, crazy action, psychological thriller, horror movie thing centered around a bunch of skydivers. And then she has another film coming out, probably in early 2023, called Awaken, and she's starring in a supporting role with Tobin Bell and Lance Henriksen. And we talk a little bit about who those two people are and how excited she is about this film. We had a blast. You will too. And this is my second conversation with actress, writer, producer, Kayla Adams. Yeah, talk to me, yeah. Welcome back to Fascination Street Podcast, Kayla Adams. How are you doing today?
Thank you. I'm doing so good. How are you?
I am fan-freaking-tastic. Streetwalkers, go back and listen to the first time Kayla was on. That was released on October 21st, 2019. That's the part where we really got to know her and where she was from and why she got into acting and all that. So this time we're going to skip all that and just jump right into the good stuff. So speaking of good stuff, how did you spend your COVID?
Oh, what a question. To be honest with you, I took as much time to get out into the mountains as possible, because if we couldn't be around people, I was like, well, I'm going to pack up a bag, grab a cooler, and go into the mountains where there's nobody. So I did a lot of traveling around California, ironically enough, because there was nothing else to do.
So just by yourself or with a buddy or?
I did a lot of it alone, actually. I had a couple of friends that, since we were all not working, we went together, but I also drove to Canada by myself.
Okay, so did they let you in? Because I know that Canada was really, really strict on the incoming, outgoing during COVID thing.
I got lucky. I'm Canadian. So mm-hmm. I was 100% allowed to go back to my homeland. And because I have my permanent residency in the States, I could come back. So I got very lucky. I could freely travel, which I know a lot of people couldn't. So I did go home for a few months and just soak up the beautiful BC summer weather, which is amazing. And actually spent a lot of time writing and getting back to things that I really enjoy, you know, but it was long and it was hard for most of us.
Yeah, it was rough. That was some pretty crazy times.
I know.
So when we spoke last, Ad Astra was number 2 at the box office, and that was with Brad Pitt and and Donald Sutherland. And I think that when we were talking about that on the first episode, you told me I should probably take something out, and I didn't. You told me I should take it out because it made me look stupid.
No, really?
Yeah. You had mentioned fellow Canadian, Donald Sutherland. And I started laughing and I said, you know, I've known for my whole life that Kiefer Sutherland was Canadian, but it never once occurred to me that his father was. And you started laughing and you go, you should probably take that out.
I'm glad you left it in then.
Oh my gosh. Because I re-listened to it yesterday and I could not stop laughing.
Oh, that's funny. Ah, he's so sweet. Good old Canadians. It's always fun when you run into a fellow Canadian down in Los Angeles. I really like that.
I bet that happens more often than I would think.
Yeah, it does. There's a lot of us. There's a lot. We're hidden.
You guys are taking over.
I met a girl actually who, when we were all wearing masks, she had a little Canadian leaf on one of her masks. So I was like, oh, hello, fellow friend. So that was like a fun way to break the ice and meet a local Canadian. But yeah, there's actually quite a few in LA, a lot.
Well, that is rad. Also, I think, I don't know if it had come out yet when we spoke, Bliss, which was Salma Hayek and Owen Wilson.
No, I don't think it did come out actually. No, but it's out now, but it wasn't out when we talked. Yeah, that was a great movie. Have you seen it?
Well, obviously not, if I didn't know whether it was out or not. Where is it? Like I could just.
It's on Amazon.
It's called Bliss.
Yeah, it's so good.
What's it about?
There's a bit of a twist in it, so I don't want to give it fully away, but essentially it's about a man's struggle with addiction, which is a really hard subject to look at. And the way they told the story was so true and painful. But with Owen Wilson's work, he's so vulnerable and he brings such a comedic element, even if he is playing a serious role. It was a really powerful film. I really loved it. I definitely think you should check it out.
I'm definitely going to check that out this weekend. My wife and I are always looking for every Friday. We just, you know, have date night or whatever. Mm-hmm. And during COVID, especially, it was like, oh, we'll just have date night here. Let's just watch something. And so, you know, during the week, we'll watch TV shows or whatever. But on Friday nights, date night, we always pick a movie. So we'll definitely check out Bliss. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's good. It's a different spin on how they approach that subject matter, too. It's a really different take on it, which I respect it. So definitely check it out on your next date night. It's really good. And Selma Hayek's amazing. She was so fun to work with. She was really nice. She was such a trooper and she was so great. We both had a really good scene together. So it was awesome. I'm very lucky to be on it. And Bill Nye was in it, which is
the science guy.
So cool. Yes.
Well, you're kidding yes. me. Really?
No, I'm dead serious. Yeah. That was probably where I nerded out so hard meeting him. I'm like, oh my gosh, I grew up watching you.
So did you have scenes with Bill Nye, the science guy?
He's in like, yeah, we're in one big group of people. We didn't interact together, but he's like, we're beside each other. So
you should definitely put that on your bio, on your resume at the top. I was in a scene with Bill Nye, the science guy.
The science guy.
That is so rad.
He's like our childhood scientist.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And then also what came out was Rogue Warfare from Saban Films. How did you like that? I mean, I know that we had talked a little bit, I guess not really spoilers, but at the time, obviously, not obviously, I only say obviously because you said it last time, you're of Lebanese descent.
Yeah.
And so that was an impactful role for you because?
Because I got to represent a woman from the Middle East who essentially had to deal with terror within your own community. I think sometimes we don't understand that what families and what a lot of people in the Middle East go through is the terror in their local community. It's not necessarily because they're at war with a different country. It's what goes on a local level. And it's heartbreaking. It's a completely different life that we're so blessed never to have to understand living in the Western world. And I got to bring a level of compassion and empathy for, you know, a situation that we don't really know anything about on a personal level. So being able to do that and not play the opposite side, which I have made a personal choice as a Lebanese woman to not play the opposite side because I don't want to give into that stereotype any further. And I love that Hollywood is respecting that. And we've really changed, like, especially in the last 2-3 years, it's changed so much. Especially with Muslim people as well. There's a lot more content out there. So we're normalizing that as well. So yeah, that was just such a painful role to play, but I felt really lucky to be able to like bring such truth to a really hard situation.
You're right. We don't have to deal with that kind of a situation here all that mm-hmm. much. The closest thing I could equate it to is like back in the 80s and 90s, the Crips and the Bloods were kind of a big deal. And so I feel like based on what you've explained about your character last episode and this episode is that your character is like, okay, well, what if the Crips and the Bloods were doing all their damage, but you'd lived within that neighborhood and you were neither one of them.
Exactly. Which is a great comparison, by the way. That's actually a really good comparison because that's a real thing.
Well, it was not so much now. I mean, sure, a little bit, but back. Woo,
yeah, it's still there, but not. Yeah, I know. I know. It's crazy.
So that's kind of what I equate that character from Rogue Warfare is, you know, okay, so what if there was terrorists, but then what if there wasn't, but they all lived in the same neighborhood. Like, what about this poor family that has to deal with all? So I think that's a really cool way to attack the character. And I super, super love that you have taken that stand, that you're not going to further those aspersions.
Yeah. And look, you can't blame anyone. There's like, it's
you can go ahead. Name them.
Well, hang on. Here's my list right here, starting with letter A. No, you could say that about so many stereotypes in the business. It's just, it is what it is. And we as humans have grown a lot, but I'm just excited. You know, you get to see shows like Rami. I don't know if you've watched it on Hulu, and they're changing the game, in my opinion, for how we look at Muslim Americans or Muslim Canadians. It's so good. I'm just so excited for where we're going. Even Miss Marvel, that's a huge, huge game changer with diversity, religion in a very popular show. So I'm very excited about where we're going.
Yeah, I hope that if we are, and it looks like we might be heading down that path of acceptance, I hope we just keep going down that acceptance road, because it's been a rough few years of everybody looking for reasons to hate everybody else.
Yeah, it's everyone's highly offended, right? We're just in a tough spot as humans. We're in a tough spot. You know, this is where you can reach in and just come from your heart and be empathetic and understanding. That's all we can do right now. And keep, like you said, just keep moving forward.
Yes. As long as forward means more acceptance, then I'm all for it forward.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how quick this aside is going to be, but the last time we talked, you were telling me about this movie you were writing about your grandfather.
Yes, the World War II. That.
So hold on. So kind of re-explain what the movie is and why you're making it. And then after that, tell me how that's going.
Yeah. So my grandfather was in the Royal Canadian Air Force, and he had a recorder. He recorded a voice recorder, his whole experience when his plane got shot down and he was behind enemy lines, and he had to travel, I think it was 600 miles on foot to get to where was he going? It was down south by Spain. And he recorded his entire experience. You know, he had an angel on his shoulder on how he avoided getting captured almost 5 or 6 times at least. Without shoes, without food, he had nothing. He didn't even have boots on his feet. And then when he got home, you know, years passed and he passed away. And my uncle transcribed his recorder into essentially a 30-page outline of what could be a beautiful hero story for a Canadian veteran. And so I had been sitting with that and talking to my family and asking questions, because I didn't get to know my grandfather very well. I was really young when he passed away. So I started digging into that and then trying to find a writer that can tell the story and have a lot of knowledge of World War II is not tricky, but it takes a lot of time. We had something that we thought we were going to work with, and then we ended up going our separate ways. So that's sitting on the side right now. Sometimes things go fast, and sometimes you hear stories where they're like, yeah, it took us 8 years to make this movie, or Mad Men, I think, was shopped around for 8 or 10 years. That's like our favorite example people like to give. So that's still there. It's just, it's on the side burner right now, because I know that that's a big baby. That's a big project for me. So I got to find it to be in the right hands with the writer that I'm looking for.
So is it already written?
No, I just have the outline.
Okay. A couple of questions. You say this is World War II?
Mm-hmm.
How did he have a voice recorder in World War II? That's amazing all by itself.
I don't know. I don't know exactly what it was. He had tapes, but they're all disintegrating. That's why my uncle had to transcribe it.
That's so crazy. I didn't like.
Maybe he did it when he got back. I don't know the specifics of when he actually recorded it. He could have recorded it when he got back to Canada.
Sure.
Not like in real time, but it's really cool because it's all first person. The tapes have fully disintegrated because they're so old. But I would love to have been able to hear his voice. But it's really cool reading it because it's all first person. So I feel like so close to him when I read it. It's really awesome.
And this was your uncle who transcribed it?
Yeah. Yeah. Years ago. So I just found out.
Cool.
Yeah. I found out about this only a few years ago. I knew he was in the Air Force, but I didn't know how like badass he was. I was just really blown away. And I think it'd be something really special to be able to share a Canadian hero story. You know, we have like one, I think, out there. But
yeah. Gretzky is your Canadian hero.
Wayne, does he have a movie yet? I think he's in a movie. Isn't
he's got to be in at least. He's probably in a dozen movies, playing himself.
Yeah,
or something.
Hockey. Yeah. So, yeah. So that would be really fun. But you know, I'm aware that some things take time and sometimes inspiration hits in different ways. And a lot has happened in my life. You know, I shifted gears into more lighter writing. So I'm currently pitching a romantic comedy right now, which I'm so excited about.
Hey, Streetwalkers, here's a word from our sponsors.
Welcome to the Cool Grandpa Podcast. This is the podcast where we get to talk to other grandfathers and figure out what they are doing to make their relationships grow and become meaningful. I also talk to experts on mental health, addiction, career advice, writing books, and many other topics. If you're not a grandfather, that's perfectly okay. Much of what we talk about are tips and tricks that you can use in your everyday relationships as well. So you're more than welcome to come on in and join us. The Cool Grandpa Podcast can be found on all major podcast hosting platforms, as well as cool-grandpa.us. That's cool-grandpa.us. Come in, kick up your feet, and join us as we figure out this role of grandfather together. Now, Steve, why don't you hit us again with another fascinating conversation?
Let's get back into it.
Okay, so what is lighter writing? You mean like not the dark, heavy world war stuff?
Yeah, that's a little heavy.
Okay. Last couple of questions about that movie or that script about your grandfather. Did you say he walked 600 miles with no boots?
Yeah, so when he landed, so they had their parachutes when their plane got shot down. It was him and one other person who I think made it out alive. And according to him, he lost, like right away, he lost everything. Like his boots fell off because they were in the muck. And so he just had to go. It was just like, you were behind enemy lines. You had to go. So they knew because they saw him fall from the sky and they found his stuff on the ground. They knew that they were looking for him. Yeah, it was insane. But the cool thing about it is that so many people actually helped him and took him in. You know, they technically weren't allowed to, but the human condition to help people. And so really it's a story about like the goodness of people in very dark times, which I love about certain war movies.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. The good part of the human experience, if you will.
Yeah.
What country was he in when that happened?
I think he was flying over London. Not country, but the city. I have the map, actually.
No,
I have to
okay.
look at it again. It's been a minute.
Wow, that's crazy.
Lorient. He was over Lorient, sorry.
Wow. Okay, great.
Yeah.
I heard what, you know, speaking about the human condition and the stories of the people who kind of weren't assholes.
Mm.
Do you know who Stephen Tobolowsky is? He was like Ned Ryerson on Groundhog Day.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So he was telling a story about this man that he met who was a concentration camp survivor.
Wow.
And he was telling a story about when they escaped from the concentration camp after the Americans were coming and the guards just kind of gave up. The first, you know, they were all starving to death. So the first little farmhouse they found, the people in the farmhouse who were Germans, they fed them and clothed them and gave them water. And then as they were leaving, the family said, make sure you tell the Americans that we were good to you.
Mm.
Like, don't get it twisted. We're not the bad guys. So it's, you know, stories like that, which I would imagine there's one or two of them in your grandfather's story.
Absolutely.
I can't wait.
Oh, that's so huge.
Should I call Tom Hanks and see if he can get involved?
Yeah. Who else you got?
Well, last time we talked about fellow Canadian Ryan Reynolds getting involved, but maybe we can get Tom. What's up, T. Hanks? What you doing?
Yeah, T. Hanks, give us a call. Wow, that's such a beautiful story. I also read somewhere, too, about people who gave birth in concentration camps. Like, they were a child of that. It's just, it's horrific. It's heartbreaking.
Can't even imagine, right?
Oh my gosh. No, you can't. You know, there's just not enough for us to learn about that experience. It's just, you know, it's, you could go on and on, but I love being able to, like what you just shared, like how they helped that person. You know, it's one of the reasons why I've watched this so many times, Dunkirk. Oh my gosh. I mean, for 1,000 reasons, it's an incredible film, not to mention like the DP, the director. But I loved how civilians came in the end. That's just everything. It was just everything.
You're weird. Not many girls will watch a war movie once, let alone over and over again.
Oh, I've seen Dunkirk probably 7 or 8 times. That is one of my favorites.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
The Tom Hanks war movie, I think it was World War II. I think it was called Greyhound. Apparently, mm-hmm. like when you watch it online or whatever, there's three different versions or something. And so like you watch it and then you watch it again and it's just a little bit different. And then you watch it again and it's just a little bit different than it was the first few times.
Really?
Supposedly. That's what I'm told by one of the dudes who was in it.
Greyhound? All right, I'll check it out.
Yeah, Greyhound.
That out.
I don't know where it is. It's maybe it's on Apple or something. I don't know, but that's a T Hanks. That's a T Hanks vehicle. So let's transition to some lighter writing. So you're pitching a rom-com?
Yes, I'm so excited. Yeah, me and my co-writer have been digging away at this romantic comedy that I'm so excited about.
Why are you excited about it?
I just love the story. I love the storyline. You know, we've had such a tough season with COVID and I know so many people have gone through so much in the last few years and that's just part of life. And I started watching over the winter so many romantic comedies and I realized as an audience member how important it was to have shows or movies where, you know, there's no scary twist. There's nothing that's going to make you like just break. It's just a good, solid, feel good movie. And I fell in love with rom-coms more than I ever have. And I had this idea. It just came to me. And so I called my co-writer and we've been doing it. And I'm really excited about it.
So this, the one that you're working on, this is a film, not a TV show?
This will be a feature film. Yeah.
Why not a TV show? We'll call Darren Star and get him involved.
Well, wouldn't that be fun?
Wouldn't it?
I feel like he's probably really busy.
He's only got, I don't know, 11 shows on the air right now or something. I'm sure he can find the time.
Just a casual. It's like Taylor Sheridan. Just
exactly.
Has a lot going on.
So why did you decide to make it a film and not a TV show? I feel like now's the golden age of TV shows.
Yeah, I just saw it as a film. I saw the beginning, middle, and end. I saw the arc of it. It never entertained me to do it as a TV series. It feels like a story that's perfect for a film. So that's fine. Easy answer.
There you go. Well, that is an easy answer. Are you currently pitching this or you're about to pitch it?
We are. Yeah, we've had a meeting a week and a half ago. We've got a couple more lined up. So this is exciting for me because this is new territory.
Pitching?
Yes. And I love being a beginner at anything. Throw me in. I'm so ready. We're having a great time and we've got some interest already. So we'll see where it goes.
Tell me about your experience pitching. Obviously, don't give me names or networks or anything like that, but tell me like, how does it feel? Because you're making it sound like this is kind of some of the first times that you're doing this. So walk me through, you know, walking in and sweating like crazy because you're nervous.
Yeah. You know, I have to say it helps being an actor and being in like audition situations where you're sweating like crazy and super nervous. I have this thing where something's new to me. I don't actually get that nervous. I'm just more excited about it because I have a very good beginner's mind about things in life. And so for this, you know, because I really believe in the story and I'm aware of it's going to land where it needs to land. I don't have a lot of anxiety or fear around it. So I just entered with like bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. And I, you know, we have our pitch deck and our script and they ask questions and a lot of it is just getting to know each other, getting to know myself, me getting to know the producer. Because at the end of the day, too, if we do get interest from a few different companies, like we get to make the choice where we get to sell it to and if it's the right fit for the story, you know?
Right.
Which I never really thought of that way because, you know, in the acting world, sometimes you're like, oh, I just really want this part. And, you know, you just want it rather than being like, I have a choice. And so in this situation, it's exciting to feel like, well, hang on, would this be a good home for it? Because I'm aware of what your work is like or what style of films you put out. So, yeah, it's really cool to be on the other end of it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, all of the luck. Break all the legs.
Thanks.
Whatever they
Thank
say.
You. Yeah, I'll let you know if and not if, when it comes out.
There you go.
But
I
that's
going to
be
say,
a minute.
How dare you?
I'm going to film it. I know.
Yeah, first you got to find somebody to pay for it. Then you got to actually film it. Would you be in it?
There is one role that I would sell myself for. There is a spot that I would like to have.
But not the lead? You're not like, oh no, but I'm going to be the lead. You're not that person?
No. I am for sure, but not in this film. No, this film, I didn't write it for me. I have an idea of who I want to play the male lead and an idea of who I want to play the female lead. So yeah, I'm happy to either just stay as a writer on it or I would love to be in this one specific role that I think would be fun.
Okay. And hear me out. Here's a suggestion. Take it or leave it.
Mm-hmm.
For the male lead, I think you should go with Tom Hanks. But for the female lead,
yeah,
I think you should go with Ryan Reynolds because he is a beautiful man.
He is a beautiful man. The thing with the Tom Hanks character, though, he might be a little too old.
Well, he can. Remember, he was in Big. He can just get younger.
Prosthetics. I mean, did you see Elvis? He changed completely how he looks. So we can just make him look a lot younger.
All right. I'll hop on it.
Thank you. I really do appreciate that introduction.
You are most welcome.
Great.
So last time we talked about it, it was about to come out and then the world shut down for almost everything. And so here we are. It just came out on VOD, digital, and DVD. Get out of here.
VOD. I know. People buy those. Did you know that?
Stop it. You're just making that up.
I have some.
Yeah, it's coasters. So it just came out VOD and apparently digital and whatever a DVD is. It's called Hex. Tell me about Hex and why you're so excited about this film.
Oh my gosh. First of all, DVDs exist. We get them as screeners all the time. They still exist. Now, do you have something to play it in? Probably not.
That is a good point.
Oh my goodness. I'm so excited for Hex. I haven't seen a skydiving movie in a very long time.
When was the last skydiving movie you did see?
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Forever.
Or it's like not mainly about skydiving and it's one of the gags in the script or something.
So Hex is about skydiving. This movie centers around skydiving and a specific dive, right?
Exactly. It's essentially about a group of skydivers who now have the right amount of skydivers to perform the Hex, which is what we learn to find out, a cursed skydive. So yes, it's all about skydiving. We shot it at the Skydive Center in Lake Elsinore, so just outside of Los Angeles, which was very, very cool.
Did you skydive?
I did not.
Oh, thank God.
I did not.
Have you been to one of those weird eye dive or eye sky or whatever those are?
You know, when we worked on Tomorrowland, they had, what is it? I know what you're trying. It's a wind tunnel. Mm-hmm. They had that for one of the kids to do. And I saw a kid doing it. And I was like, okay, well, if he can do it, I can do it. But no, I didn't skydive. They offered it as a wrap gift. And I was like, yeah, I think I'm good. Thanks.
No, thank you.
But I will say this, being at a drop zone every single day while we filmed and other people were still going up and it was one of the centers where a lot of military were training. So I got to see people jump 50 times a day. Nothing went wrong. So that eased a lot of my anxiety.
Not the same person, right?
Oh, there are people who jump. Oh, yeah. You'll jump like 10 or 15 times a day. Easy.
That was the Canadian in you. You said, oh, yeah.
Oh, no. I've been trying so hard to get rid of it, but I just gave up.
No way. It's awesome. Keep doing it.
I don't even care.
Tell me more about Hex.
Yeah. So it's about a group of skydivers that perform this cursed skydive. And then you'll see in the trailer, essentially someone disappears midair. And the story is about trying to discover where he went. And then a lot of twists start to pop up along the way. I can't say anything else because it'll surprise you, but it is scary and fun. And the actual skydiving shots are all real. My stunt double was a star. She was incredible. And it's beautiful. I mean, they got so many beautiful shots and some really scary stuff in the sky. So it's going to be really fun to watch.
I watched the trailer and it looks insane.
Yeah.
Like it looks crazy. Now, when that dude just straight up disappeared, I was like, what in the heck?
Yeah.
Where did that? So without any spoilers, tell me exactly where he went and how the movie ends.
Tell me everything that happens. Well, he went to IHOP. He got pancakes. Oh, cool. Yeah. Cool, mm-hmm. Cool. He was just having pancakes and coffee.
It was a Rudy Tooty fresh and fruity thing.
Absolutely. That's it. That's it. And it was all a dream. That's all it was.
Oh, it was all a dream. Like I said, Hex came out on VOD and digital everywhere. I'm going to pretend like DVDs aren't a real thing because nobody's going to do that. Also, you have another thing that's, I guess, supposed to come out next year. It's called Awaken with Lance Henriksen. What?
Yes. And Tobin Bell, who was Saw, which I never watched because Saw scare me so much.
Wait, Saw?
Yeah, the guy who plays Jigsaw, Tobin Bell. The scariest thing in the world.
That creepy dude with the no.
That's Tobin Bell.
That's terrifying.
I know, I can't watch those. He's so nice though. He's so kind. He was so great. again, the pandemic, I think, thank God. I mean, I just don't know how producers handled that, you know. It just would have been so hard.
I think a lot of alcohol is how they handled that.
Oh, gosh, probably, right? Yeah, no, it's either coming out end of this year or early next year. I imagine things just kind of got jostled around over the last few years. But yeah, it was a really cool movie with Tobin Bell and the late Ed Asner, which is so sad and so lovely.
Two-time previous guest, Ed Asner.
Yes, exactly. So Awaken was really cool as well. That's more of a psychological drama. And my co-stars were so amazing. We had such a great time. We filmed it in Augusta, Georgia. It was a blast. So that should be coming out shortly as well.
Augusta, Georgia?
Mm-hmm.
Was it hot?
Yes.
When did you film it?
Right before we closed.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know.
Hey Streetwalkers, here's a word from our sponsors.
You know those popping phone handle things that you see on everyone's phones nowadays? Well, how would you like to put your logo on them? Does your podcast or band need new merch? Do you want to bring attention to your new book or film? Maybe you need something unique for your Patreon or crowdfunding campaign. Then visit thelogopop.com, where you can customize them with the logo of your podcast, band, business, art, school mascot, or whatever else you can think of. These are way more affordable than you may think at thelogopop.com. Mention where you heard this ad and get free shipping on your entire order. Remember, that's thelogopop.com to order your custom popping phone handles. That's thelogopop.com.
Let's get back into it.
I would imagine that, I mean, obviously not just you, but a bunch of actors and producers and writer, everybody, like, I would imagine that since there was basically everybody pushed pause on releasing stuff, mm-hmm. a whole lot of stuff's coming out all at once.
Yeah.
How are you handling all your press with all your different things?
You know, we're just going with it. It's a busy season with auditions. So you just got to juggle it all. Like, that's the name of this game. When it rains, it pours. So I'm grateful for it. And it's fun. This is super fun for me. And I was also going to say, I imagine with, you know, there was such a question mark around theatrical releases for so long, right? Because they were closed or open, then closed. So yeah, I bet you it threw a wrench in a lot of people's plans.
Yeah, I think Top Gun, they pushed that for 2 years.
They did.
Tom Cruise was like, I'm not releasing that on VOD. No way.
Oh my gosh, you could never. You could never. No, I actually had a girlfriend who did stunts on it. I remember her filming it forever ago. That's mm-hmm. the thing. Like, everything just sat now and you just got to wait. So it's just kind of where it's at, but that's fine. You know, not my thing to figure out.
But Awaken, is it coming out in theaters or VOD? What's it doing? Is it on a platform?
I haven't heard yet. I know it was planned to do theaters. It was going to do theatrical release. When I signed my contract, I was aware of that. But I don't know. Things change. So I'm not sure. Yeah, I haven't heard anything, but I know it's out there.
Here's a strange question, and feel free to not answer it. But let's say you're in a film, but then they put you in the trailer.
Yeah.
Do you get paid separately for being in the trailer or more for being in the trailer? Or like, is that a whole separate thing?
No.
Do you know?
No, I've never. Well, if you're supposed to get paid more, I did not.
You're like, what the?
Hang on. I'm going to call my agent really quickly. Can we hit pause for a second?
Yeah, I need to call Tom Hanks anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Let's circle back and see what happens. No, I don't know, actually. Maybe.
So not that you're aware of?
No, I haven't gotten paid. And I've been in a few trailers, so I'm not sure. I don't think so. Rock on. I don't know. Yeah, great question.
I'm making a note to talk to somebody about that.
Circle back the last 5 years.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
got some talking to do, my friend.
Yeah, then I'll get extras for Hex because I'm all over that trailer.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah,
are you the lead?
Are you the lead on that? Yeah,
yeah, okay, because you were all over it, and it's like, and she's gonna find, I'm like, she's the lead.
Well, what's interesting is how they, without saying too much, but you know, I don't say a lot in the trailer. So there's a big question mark around Sarah. So you'll just have to watch.
I'll just have to watch. Again, everybody, it came out on VOD and digital everywhere. It's called Hex. Mm-hmm. And don't forget to keep your eyes peeled. Probably, I'm guessing, the beginning of next year for Awaken.
Yeah.
We don't know where it's going to be, but it's going to be awesome. How about that?
Sure is. Love it.
Mm-hmm. Heck yeah, it's going to be awesome. I mean, Tobin Bell and Lance Henriksen. I'm pretty sure that's the guy who the alien came out of his stomach.
Really?
I'm pretty sure that's Lance Henriksen. I haven't seen that movie in a long time, but I would bet lots of money on it.
I will be Googling that.
So this is a question that I can't stand when people ask other people. So I'm going to go ahead and do it.
Why not?
Well, what else you got going on? What's happening?
In life?
No, other projects. What you got? I know that these things that are coming out or came out, you filmed a millennia ago.
Yeah.
So right now, are you just working on doing auditions and then your pitches?
Yeah, I've gotten close to a couple of things. And, you know, sometimes things pan out, sometimes they don't. And it's been really busy with auditions, which is great. So really excited about that. I have a couple of things that I'm working on this next few weeks, actually. And then it's been shifting gears for me with the rom-com that's been taking up the last, probably the first half of this year. So yeah, that's been really good. And I've been, I have a lot of filmmakers who we're all creators. You know, we love to write. We like to hop on to produce other projects that we're working on. So I have a friend of mine that I've been helping with one of her projects that she's slated to shoot at the end of this year. So I'll be producing that with her.
Nice.
Just got my fingers in everything. Yeah, a little creator over here. So it's been good. It's been really busy.
I feel like the people who are blessed to be creative are multifaceted creatively. Like, did you watch Severance?
I haven't started it yet, so don't give it away too much.
Okay, so the guy who plays Petey, he's instrumental in the whole thing. You'll understand when you see it. But the guy who plays Petey, he's an actor who you'll know from a bunch of stuff. He's a musician. He's a painter. He's a writer. I'm like, save some for somebody else, bro.
Yeah.
So is that what you do too? You just take all the jobs?
I mean, with discernment between them, for sure. But I know there's like the whole multi-hyphenate. And I think sometimes people can like force themselves to feeling like they need to do all these things. Whereas like for, and I can't speak to everybody else, but for me, I just know I love to create. I'm a creator, especially when it comes to writing, having that speck of an idea and then get it onto a page, then getting it onto a screen, whether it's a short, which I've done a bunch of, or a feature that, you know, is a new territory for me. But as artists, like I play piano, I love to paint, I write poetry. I sound like such a nerd right now.
No, you sound like a creator. Like, it's rude that you're not, you know, letting some other folks have some of that creative juice, but whatever, you do you.
I think we all have it, you know, we all
do
have
we?
It.
Because I don't.
Yes. Doesn't mean you have to be great. Look, my paintings are not fantastic, but it's self-expression. So that's what it is.
Well, you know what? Jackson Pollock's paintings were not fantastic either. And look at where he went.
Oh, that's lovely. Are you saying that that's where I could go?
Well, I'm just saying.
Do you want to buy a painting?
Oh, you're breaking up. I'm going through the tunnel right now.
Oh, no service. Suddenly we're out of time.
Oh, no. And that's the hour.
Great.
So Kayla, where can people find you on social media?
I am most on Instagram at Kayla Adams Life. And I dabble a little in Facebook, but that's it. I try to keep it to one platform. Definitely not on TikTok, because who has time for TikTok? Sorry, everybody.
We talked about it earlier. We're too old for that. I don't know what I'm supposed to do on that thing. Thank God. I have no idea.
Neither. No, that's a hard no for me. I like Instagram and Facebook's, you know, Facebook's the old generation, but
that's right, guys. You can find her on MySpace.
Yeah, MySpace. Yeah, I do remember that one actually. But yeah, Instagram is where I'm at.
So Instagram at Kayla Adams Life, LIFE.
That's right.
Rock on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as we're headed out here, Kayla, is there anything I didn't ask you or we didn't talk about that you wanted to talk about today? Did I miss anything?
No, you got me. You got me good. Yeah, thank you, Steve. It was lovely. It was nice to see you and talk again.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. This time we got to see each other. So that was one of the things that was different for me about COVID, because when I first started my show, it was all in person.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, as I made different inroads to different, I guess, aspects of creativity, right? Athletes or musicians or in Hollywood, it became, you know, more would become like over the phone.
Yeah.
Well, when COVID happened, it was 100% Zoom. And I didn't know how to use Zoom. Mm-hmm. You'll never guess who helped me figure out how to use Zoom.
Tom Hanks.
How did you guess?
I just knew.
Carol Baskin.
What? How?
Because I reached out and asked if I could interview her. And she was like, absolutely, let's do it on Zoom. And I was like, I don't know. And so she, through email, she walked me through how to set up an account.
Is this for real?
Yeah, it's for real.
I mean,
so dope. She was so cool.
No way.
Yeah, but she was so sweet. And so she was my first Zoom interview. The first time I got to, you know, see somebody while I was talking to them and not be in the room was her. And she was so dope. She helped me so much. She even because I was like, I don't even know if I'm recording this. And she's like, I'll record it. And I just had the free version at the time or whatever.
And it cuts you off.
Yeah, supposedly it cuts you off or whatever. And she was like, you know what? Don't worry about it. If it cuts you off, I'll just call you back because I have the pro one. And I mean, she was just so cool.
Wow.
Zoom is what happened to me from COVID. So there's that.
I mean, welcome to everyone. Yeah, Zoom was, and it's still going. It's really changed the game for a lot of people. I mean, even auditions, like we don't do in person.
Yeah, I was going to ask, are y'all still not doing it in person?
No, there's a few commercials that they'll do in person. I haven't yet to go in the room ever, actually, since COVID happened.
So you haven't been in the room since before COVID?
Wait, I'm sorry. I've had one in-person commercial audition, and I feel like that was last year. Everything is taped. Everything.
Did you get it?
No.
Should have been on Zoom.
I was so bummed out because it was directed by Joseph Kaczynski, who I worked for on Oblivion. Yeah, he's originally commercial. Oh, well, who did Maverick, Top Gun, but he's amazing. It would have been, he came from commercials. So I don't know if he came from them, but I know he directed them.
Well, Mick G started out with music videos, so they come from everywhere.
Heck yes. Don't we all? Don't we all come from somewhere?
Yes, we do.
Insert the Drake song, started from the bottom, now we're here. We should put that in.
I'm not going to do that so he doesn't sue the hell out of me, but I'll just let you sing it. And action.
Come on, Drake, you're Canadian too.
He's like, my Canadianness only goes so far, all right? I can only be so
it's
nice.
It's really not that far at all. Yeah, exactly. He's like, pay up.
He's just happy he's not in a wheelchair anymore, I think.
Degrassi. Drake. Oh, that's funny. Yeah. So everything's self-taped or Zoom.
Do you have a self-tape set up at your house, like with a little camera, a tripod, and you do the thing?
The whole thing. Yeah. Sometimes I'll go to rooms and do it, but you know, you shouldn't have to pay for your audition. You shouldn't. You know, we had actually a conversation with SAG last week. They had a webinar about it, what to do, because not everyone's tech savvy. Not everyone has access to this or a quiet home to tape in.
Yeah.
And when you get 4 or 5 a week, you know, if I went and spent money on self-tape rooms for 5 tapes that I had to do last week, that's ridiculous.
They have self-tape rooms?
They do, yeah. It's helpful if you need it, but you know, cheap ones are $30 a pop.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That could add up.
It does add up because we tape a lot. So I set myself up with a situation here, which is great. And I've got friends nearby that have in their houses that we can do it. But it's an ongoing conversation with the union down here, SAG, and the one I have in Canada, UBCP, about how we can do more Zoom. So you don't have to worry about taping and uploading and how fast is your internet and did your upload pause halfway through?
How big is that file? Yeah.
Oh my gosh. With iPhones, everything is very, very big.
Right. That's true.
It's just new territory for us all to navigate. And from what I've been hearing, I've been listening to a lot of panels with casting. What I've been hearing, and this is just me regurgitating, is that I don't think we're going back to in room anytime soon.
Okay. So here's from an outsider who has absolutely zero to do with the business. Mm-hmm. I think auditions are kind of stupid in the first place after a certain point. Mm-hmm. Like after you have done some projects where they can see your work. A reel, if you will. Mm-hmm. After a reel, I don't think you should have to do a audition ever again. Like they can see your work.
Yeah.
They can decide whether or not you're right for the part or you can handle the part. It just seems like a bunch of hoop jumping for no reason. If there's already a body of work to go look at, then what are they doing?
Exactly. And I think like that's ultimately the goal for most actors, because then that's when you become offer only.
Right.
So you don't have to, you know, and that takes a lot. That takes a lot to get to that place.
Yeah, Tom Hanks was just doing an audition yesterday.
I'm sure he did. Just probably a couple of lines, you know.
Yes.
A co-star role.
Yeah, he's background, so it's
fine. Well, you know, did you watch Ghostbusters Afterlife?
Is that the one with the kids?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see that.
J.K. Simmons is in it for 2 lines.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
I was like, what? Yeah.
Academy Award winner J.K. Simmons. He has two lines.
Yeah. Now you're going to make me panic and be like, was that really him? Because he was in major costume. But yeah, I was like, wait, what? That could have been anyone.
That's insane.
It is insane.
Why wouldn't it be anyone?
I don't know. But he probably got offered that one.
Yeah.
They're probably like, you know what? He can handle this.
Do you think that after somebody wins an Oscar, then they become offer only?
I think they get become offer only long before that.
Really?
Long before that.
No.
Yeah. I have friends who are offer only for certain parts.
Oh.
Certain parts. Yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You'll see it in some breakdowns too.
Well, I won't. I don't see breakdowns. So there's that.
You do not.
All right. Kayla, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day and your hectic rom-com writing schedule to hang out and let us get to know you a little bit better.
Oh, thank you.
It was a blast. It was even more fun this time.
Yeah.
We'll catch up when you got some more stuff going on. Maybe we'll catch up when Awaken finally comes out. Or
yeah, that'd be great.
Or when you sell your rom-com. Or you get your grandfather's story going. We got plenty to talk about. Don't rush it. We got this.
You got it. Thank you.
Kayla, you have a great rest of your week and stay out of trouble, man.
Always.
Always.
Never.
Okay,
never.
Stay out of trouble. Never. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. My pleasure.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Opening music is the song Magnolia from the 2001 album Intransigence, used with permission from Douglas Miles Clark. Closing music is from the song Say My Name off the 2021 album Underdog Anthems, used with permission from Jax Hollow. If you like the show, tell a friend, subscribe, and rate and review the show on iTunes and wherever else you download podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube channel. All the episodes are available there as well. Check me out on Vero at Fascination Street Pod and TikTok at Fascination Street Pod. And again, thanks for listening.